Can I take your order from the blackboard now, sir? You do understand the various dishes?
Oh, yes, thanks. No problem. But we don't seem to see any prices marked against them.
Well, the chef's specialities are subject to seasonal and market forces, sir.
Really? What are you charging for the moules à la mer de Maggi, then?
$35, madame.
Beg your pardon?
Well, perhaps you would care for something a little more modest. I can certainly recommend a rôti de veau Willa Walla Bang Along, a steel at $19.50.
That's absurd.
What? Look, Barry, we don't have to eat here. Let's leave.
Okay, to you, sir. Order here for $17.50 and I'll throw in some garlic bread free.
$7.
$7, madame? You have a little joke with me? $15. That's my final offer.
$8. Okay, I have $8 from the gentleman at the bar. I have $8. Any advance on eight?
$9.
$10 with a bottle of Port Pirie Pinot.
I have $10 from table three. Okay, for $12, you get the veal, the wine, the side salad, the garlic bread, a night with the barmaid, my personal collection of matchbox levers, a spittoon, and an F-Gerald at $12. Sold to the gentleman and the beer stocker on table three. Okay, I got entrees, I got main courses, I got desserts, I got a red wine list. What am I being? Do I have $30 for this pre-loved cup of Milo, previously owned by a retired vicar? Okay, $25.
This is Biodegradable ABC Radio, and we'll be back in half an hour without Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, Lance Curtis, Jane Harders, Joe McKay, Drew Forsyth, Angela Weber, Peter Smalley, and Adam Bowen. In this edition, special guests David Morrow and Ron Davies. Music for Dining by Arthur Greenslade and the G-Men, and budget-breaking megastars Eli Bickerstaff and Booker T. Welfare. Meanwhile, we're slightly out to lunch.
Good evening and welcome again to Tapping Tonight. First, the answers to last week's quick quiz were 1, a banana, 2, some Boy Scouts, 3, a jar of whipped cream, and 4, yes, it is illegal. Now on with the show. And for tonight's first phone tap, I want you to listen very carefully, and if you recognize the voice, ring us straight away for the chance to claim a prize.
I can't see this weekend. I think my wife suspects.
Oh, but David, I have to see you.
But if my wife finds out,
oh, David, please. Even if you could just come down for the afternoon.
And we have a caller. And she's on the line now. A Mrs. Shadrach from Bendigo. Hello, Mrs. Shadrach. Can you identify the man's voice? Yes, that's quite correct. It was, in fact, your husband. Yes, he was right, wasn't he? You did suspect. Now, for an extra $100, can you tell us the name of the woman? Any ideas? Initial, all right, L. No, it wasn't his secretary, Lola. Nice try, though. Very close. Sorry, what was that? No, look, I'm sorry, we can't tell you the woman's name. It's this program's policy not to reveal information that could cause hurt or embarrassment to anyone. Now we'll move right along to our next phone tap. So for your chance to win $100, listen very carefully now.
Look, I'm really desperate for the position.
Well, I'm sorry, that's out of my hands.
Look, I'm willing to slip a few quid your way.
Well, I don't normally take bribes. I suppose just this once.
And we have a caller. Yes. Hello, Prime Minister. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't one of the cabinet. That's all right, Prime Minister. Thank you for calling. Well, a tough one, that. It was, in fact, the Vicar of St. Egbert's appointing a new church organist. Well, for our quick quiz, listen carefully to these voices.
We know all about you. Who is this? You do not know us, but we know you. We know where you go on Sunday afternoons, when you are saying to your family you are playing with the golf, and we know the name of the shop where you buy the whip and the balloon.
Well, that's got you all guessing, hasn't it? For $200, we want you to write in and tell us, who is the scientist? What sort of atomic research is he involved in? What does he do with the balloons? And how did the KGB first get onto him? The first correct entry wins the cash prize. That's all for now, but keep listening to Tapping Tonight next week. You never know, next week we could be hearing from you.
Our story continues in the nation's capital.
Sorry to keep you waiting, driver. The house rose much later than I expected.
That's all right, sir. Where would you like to go?
Oh, straight to the airport.
The airport. Fuyo-san, where the hell are you? You're supposed to be taking her to the Japanese Trade Commission. Don't tell me it takes 2 hours to cover half a mile.
You are a parliamentarian, perhaps?
No longer, I'm afraid.
You must know many, VIPs.
Never think of it.
Okay, 307, so the Japanese trade delegate's gone to the Adonis massage parlor. Look, I don't care whether the booking was originally for Mademoiselle Fifi, just don't forget your camera.
Nice part of town, this.
What's that?
I said this is a nice part of Canberra.
Boring place.
Yes, I used to have a lovely split-level dacha down by the lake.
527, pick up package from rubbish bag outside Ministry of Defense. Your contact will be dressed in a green opera hat. Roger, 527.
I don't know why they use 507. He's so unreliable.
Look, 503, if you can't read the microdot, you might as well go back to Lubyanka. I'm not here to teach you your job, comrade. What do you mean he's wearing a blue cap with a checkered band?
Can't you turn that bloody thing down?
Well, yes, I have an excellent stereo.
Bloody thing down?
Dulac, wrong tape. But I know you were like this one.
The famous Mr. Wu's had to join the jobless queue. The Chinese laundry never found out why. But although he's been retrenched, and it really was a wrench, he's got a new profession, he's a spy. He can steal a Russian plan, or a blueprint from Japan. He's lately caused a diplomatic row. If you've had Reds under your bed, you'll find Wu there now instead. 'Cause Mr. Wu's a secret agent now. Asia, he's the best. He can harass or arrest. Mr. Wu is quite the bluntest type of mole. With his oriental flair, he is fearless, but he's fair. At catching surf, he's bludging off the door. He's got books of secret codes, computer ciphers in 10 modes. And Mr. Wu has made a solemn vow. You need never be alone, there'll be a bug inside your phone. Since Mr. Wu's a secret agent now. A flap when he dropped in at Pine Gap in a renovated biplane tried with string. When his Instamatic jammed, he had to try and land to load the spare box brownie on the wing. Bells clanged and sirens went, tracker dogs were on the scent, and sweat began to prickle on Wu's brow. So he took snapshots of cut rates of the guards that manned the gates, and Wu is still a secret agent now. With his bamboo Geiger clock and his radioactive wok, Mr. Wu disarms a rocket where it lies. He can mingle with the folk in his dagger and his cloak. Mr. Wu's a quick change master of disguise. John Le Carré signed him up for a monumental book. He thought it time that Smiley took a bow. And the ladies get their kicks from Wu's endless dirty tricks, since Mr. Wu's a secret agent now.
And now it's time for our weekly Pets Corner with our regular veterinary consultant, Bruce Losis. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello there, and it's nice to be with you again. As usual, I'm speaking to you from my surgery here in the clinic at Drainage Hills, and this week's letter comes from Janine Accidenti of Metal Park, and one of my aunts used to live at Metal Park, Janine, and you write, "Dear Bruce, my marmalade cat Himmler has become very naughty. He goes off in the night, and sometimes he doesn't come back for days on end. I don't know where he goes to or what he does, and I get very worried about him." A marmalade, eh, Janine? Golly, they're attractive cats, aren't they? Almost good enough to eat, but probably the fur wouldn't taste very nice. No, I'm only joking, dear, and I shouldn't be, I know, because this is a very serious letter, and I want to give you a serious answer. However, there is one little thing that troubles me, and I'm sure it's nothing to do with you personally, but who who gave the cat the name Himmler? It was your father, wasn't it? Yes, I thought so. He stands in front of the mirror making faces and talking to himself too, doesn't he? And he carries a bayonet when he goes for a walk. It's all part of a pattern, Janine. Pretty soon he'll start appearing at breakfast dressed in a leather greatcoat and talking in German. This has to be nipped in the bud, Janine. What I would suggest is a tripwire at the top of the stairs. And just in case this doesn't quite do the job, you could stand at the bottom with a nice heavy brick. And enlist your mother's help, dear. After all, she's had to put up with this for a lot longer than you have, and I'm sure she'll be only too glad to get a bit of her own back. By the way, the best wire to use is piano wire, I think. It's very strong and almost invisible in the dim light of the average suburban staircase. And it adds a nice musical touch, too. Now your cat. Why does he run away and not come home? I want to say one word to you, or it's two, actually. Raw meat. Think about it, Janine. And now this is Bruce Lazarus saying goodbye till next time, and please bear in mind the term wild beast is only a definition.
From across the seas, around the globe, out of the outback, and into your local theatre, it's the Cooey Newsreel. On the sun-drenched Gold Coast, citizens of Australia stand in readiness before the threat of imminent Japanese invasion. Our Cooey newsreel camera shows eager groundsmen preparing bunkers on the local golf course to face the Sons of Nippon. While here in the high street, this volunteer army of real estate agents stands guard outside banks and building societies as their commission checks for millions of yen from land deals are processed inside. United in defiance of the rising sun, the real estate agents of Queensland say, we can take it, or at least 10% of it. Egypt, one of the cradles of civilization, and here the historic Valley of the Kings, where in the 1920s Australian archaeologists discovered the tomb of Tutankhamun, for so long lost in the mists of time. Now analysis of the mummified boy king's stomach contents has uncovered a perfectly preserved slice of sponge cake covered in chocolate and sprinkled with desiccated coconut. The Lamington, Tutankhamun's last meal, thousands of years before Christ. Australian know-how manifested in ancient Egypt, thousands of years before the time of Christ. Romantic Italy and its ancient capital Rome, once the centre of the historic Roman Empire, and now, experts reveal, at the forefront of European democracy. Statisticians have come up with startling new evidence of the resilience of Italian politics. According to the figures shown here, by the year 2000, one Italian in three will have served their country as prime minister. Democracy in action in historic Italy. Switzerland. And the familiar face of Australian businessman and adventurer Dick Smith in this year's Swiss Pedestrian Crossing Classic, held on a quiet cul-de-sac in this sleepy lakeside Geneva suburb. At last year's Milan Open, we saw him cross a hotel lobby unaided. And recently he threw caution to the winds and took home the Tokyo Railway Footbridge Trophy. The famous horn rims twinkle in the morning sun as Dick Smith puts one sneakered foot into the road. But whoops, he's bowled by a Citroën bread van in the third minute. Tragedy for Dick Smith, but a sole contender in the event, he brings posthumous victory for Australia. The Cooey Newsreel, across the globe, out of the outback, and into your theatre.
I summon thee, Beelzebub, to grant me thy unholy power.
Dragon, our hearts,
thou
dark one.
I summon thee with my unholy dagger and the fiery chalice of goat's blood.
Dragon, our hearts, thou dark one.
I summon thee through the forbidden power of the black arts.
Excuse me, sir. I'm going to have to ask you to be quiet.
Pardon?
This is a public library. Please read the sign. No chanting.
Well, now, I really won't be very long. I've almost finished.
I summon thee through the forbidden power.
That's beside the point. People are trying to read. They don't want weird, cabalistic raving and great clouds of sulphurous fumes emerging from the home handyman section.
We can move across to the religion and folklore section if you'd like.
Oh, but we'd have to redraw the pentagram, Ralph.
Oh, yes.
The section is irrelevant. If you persist in summoning up the devil, you'll have to leave the library. It's in the bylaws.
Oh, all right. George, we'll have to use your rumpus room again, all right? Everybody out.
Where are you taking that book?
What?
The rare book collection is not for loan.
But I need the book. Have you ever tried memorizing all those complicated ancient spells?
Actually, my own field is 19th century English literature.
So, you're telling me I can't take the book out and I can't use it here?
That's right.
Well, listen, devil worship is a ratepayer's too, young lady, and we have a right to use the library and its facilities, right, brothers?
Oh, turn her into a tide, Ralph, and let's get on with it.
Look, why don't you just take your candles, your silly robes, and your disemboweled goat and get out?
Make us.
Yeah.
I will summon the head librarian.
Go ahead.
Dewey Decimal 666. Librarian, show thy trick. Young man, put that book down.
Don't step on cards, oh, head librarian.
But I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just summoning the devil.
Be cast into the depths of the serial catalogue to wander for eternity through the back issues of Dolly magazine.
Life hasn't been the same since the booze bus came and took my baby away. She was my steady date. She measured 0.08 when she blew in the bag.
Remember,
oozing in the sand.
Remember,
an esky full of cash.
Remember,
the Buddha bug was wondrous.
Remember,
we both felt slightly chundrous.
Remember,
we staggered to the car.
Remember,
we knew it wasn't far. But then they took my baby away. On the way back to town, some fuzz flagged us down and said,
I have reason to believe you're under the influence of alcohol. Blow in this faintly obscene plastic bladder, please.
Now I just said no. I go to the beach alone. They took my baby's license away.
Get down with Clint Moore on Gargling Solo.
Tell it like it is.
Yeah, bring it back home.
Oh, get down, man.
Radio phony, don't be lonely.
Oh, suffer, baby. Man, you're suffering.
Okay, let's hear it from Clint Moron on Gargle.
Life hasn't been the same since the booze bus came and took my baby away. She was my steady date. She measured 0.08 when she blew in the bag.
Remember, boozing in the sand. Remember, an esky full of can.
The sports huge opening sale.
Listen and repeat. 1. Ross sta portando un paralume. Russ is wearing a lampshade.
2. Ross ha impiegato una balia. Ross has engaged a wet nurse.
Good afternoon, Gillian Cross here with news of a new drama event, the latest production by the Rugby League Existentialist Ensemble entitled Fantasy Impromptu. With me in the studio is International 5/8, Bernie the Wacker Yaller.
Good afternoon.
And former international halfback Ray Spews.
You would? I was just saying hello, right?
I believe your company is presently reinterpreting the masterworks of Ionesco, Strindberg and Big Artie Beetson.
I'll never punch him in the head.
Not much.
Your work has been described as a rich kaleidoscope of metaphors and images. How do you manage with Ionesco's extraordinary command of dialogue?
Say again?
Ionesco.
Oh, Ionesco. He plays scrum half a rooster, isn't he?
Well, perhaps you could describe this production for us.
Yeah, sure. The ref blows his whistle. We kick off.
Yeah.
Like it's on for young and old, then. Really big.
Yeah. We like to play good clean drama, right? I did get sent off in the doll's house. I was sent off to the sin bin for 10 minutes, you know.
You never see a bloke foul on stage, you know.
It does sound quite a lot like sudden death rugby league.
Well, it's sudden death acting, you know, like, you know, in my big scene, Act 2, Scene 3, in Hedda Gabler. Yeah. You know, we was offered to do Hedda Gabler on tour, you know. And I came on to do my, and my left eye was all inflamed and it ruined my soliloquy, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And I did me hammies in Upper Vineyard.
Yeah.
Have you got any advice?
It's a rough play, that.
Yeah.
A real rough play.
It's rough. You've got to be a man of steel for rugby league drama these days.
Do you have any advice for young up-and-coming rugby league existentialist dramatists?
Never say die.
Yeah, and before your big soliloquy, take your mouth guard out.
Thank you so much.
Rugby alive! Mightier than King Kong, meaner than Godzilla, and more vicious than Skippy, it came from Winchy Mocha.
Perth is in the grip of a reign of terror. A giant sheep has escaped from captivity at Widgiemooltha and descended on Perth, devouring buildings, flattening suburbs, and dangerously soiling the footpaths. Nothing in the city is spared.
Well, it's a beautiful day here at the WACA ground as Dennis Lilly moves in to open the bowling for Western Australia. He's coming up from the river end and bowls the first delivery of the day to Jeffries, who comes forward driving. It's beautifully struck, high in the air, straight down the ground. It could even be six, although Ogden from long off's running around. He's coming around right underneath the ball now. It's going to be touch and go, whether it'll be six or out court. Ogden's underneath it. I think he's going to take it, but I think he's been trodden on by a giant sheep.
Oh, dear.
Geez, I'll be right for the trots not after this, won't I?
Well, that's certainly one for the books. It's the first time in my memory that a 300-foot mutant has interrupted play in a shield match since, well, let me think, I think it was the killer cane toad at Brisbane in 1956.
That's right, Brian. It ate the entire Victorian side after they'd forced Queensland to follow on.
Anyway, Lily's back to his mark, and he continues as he comes up again and bowls to Jeffrey.
But what has spawned this monster? Across town, our hero, Jason Furbish, and his girlfriend, the lovely Vanessa Esser, seek the answer from the one man who might know. Vanessa's father, the eminent scientist and keen golfer, Professor Esser.
So my ball goes straight down the fairway and lands about 2 feet from the green. Meanwhile, Adolf has landed in the bunker. Ho, ho, I say, trapped in a bunker again, Adolf?
Of course he wasn't amused. He never is.
But what about the sheep, Professor?
What sheep? There were no sheep. This was an exclusive club.
No, the giant sheep terrorizing Perth, Papa. Where has it come from?
Yes. Well, if I don't miss my guess, this monster is the result of a diabolical experiment gone wrong. I warned them against it, but they refused to listen to me, and now the whole country must suffer the consequences.
What experiment, Papa?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
But you must tell us, Professor.
For 30 years now, the CSIRO has been engaged on a project at Widgiemooltha that is so vile, so evil, it borders on witchcraft.
You don't mean...
Yes! They're looking for a way to turn wool into polyester.
Gasp!
Well... So that's where it came from. What does the future hold for Australia now? Is this the end of Sheffield Shield cricket as we know it? And has the CSIRO been trying to pull the wool over our eyes all these years? Tune in again for the next exciting episode of It Came From Widgie Mulfa.
We present great moments from the cutting room floor, lost excerpts from great movies, and today, an early scene from Gold Diggers of 1934.
Okay, Chuck, roll 'em.
Gold Diggers of 1934, scene one, take 105.
Oh, Mickey, what are we gonna do? How are we gonna get the money to save the orphanage now?
I don't know, Judy. Hey, I got an idea.
What is it, Mickey?
Let's put on a show.
But where?
Here, right here. We got the songs, we got the dances. And Beverly will be able to make us some really great costumes. What do you say, Bev?
Oh, no. Why, Bev? We're gonna wash me hair.
But Beverly, you're great at making costumes. And you can be in the show with us. Singing and dancing. It'll be...
Oh, that's so, Mickey. I don't want to be in your daddy show. Making a fool of myself in tight. I'm gonna wash my hair.
Hey, wait a minute. I got another great idea, Judy.
What is it, Mickey?
Let's do the show naked.
Congress closed in session. The outlook is not bright. Fun is out of fashion. There'll be no cheer tonight. But if you're game, I'm still the same stud that you once knew. We'll trade Hooverville for a Coupe de Ville. This is what we'll do. Burn the stocks and fire the broker. Let's go where the best dress folk are. All together, any weather, jumping at the Waldorf. Let's check in and check the action. Here's my plan for satisfaction. While they're jumping, we'll be humping upstairs at the Waldorf. We'll tip the maids and bellboys so they'll know the score. We'll live for days on canapes and barricade that door. Taxis honk and subways rumble. Let the city fuss and grumble. We'll be grinning. There's no sin in humping at the Waldorf.
Vocalist are fired. Orchestra, take five.
And then I woke up.
You have been slightly out to lunch with a gourmet's menu written by Tony Baldwin, Kevin Daly, David Witt, Lance Curtis, Angela Weber, Adam Bowen, Steve Johnson, Ken Matthews, and Colin Bowles. The menu was edited by Julianne Ford, cuisine assistant Linda Hughes, sound effects backed by John Farkas. The program was lovingly simulated by Warwick Maver and Brendan Frost, and the meal was prepared and served by Kevin Daly and Tony Baldwin.
Well, that solves the dinner problem, I suppose, isn't it?
Yes. I do like Sundays, don't you?
Time, please, gentlemen.
Holmes, shall we give the 420-odd people their money back?
Yeah, let's keep it.